May we help to commence our worship of God this evening by singing hymn number 64. Hymn 64 to the tune Weber 519. Hymn 64. Sovereign ruler of the skies, ever gracious, ever wise, all of my times are in thy hand, all events at thy command. Hymn 64, tune Weber 519.
to continue reading this evening in the book of Genesis, and we go to chapter 42, the 42nd chapter in the book of Genesis. Now, when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, Why do ye look one upon another? And he said, Behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither, and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die. And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sent not with his brethren, for he said, Lest peradventure mischief befall him. And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. And Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them. And he said unto them, Whence come ye? And they said, From the land of Canaan, to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them, and said unto them, Ye are spies. To see the nakedness of the land are ye come? And they said unto him, Nay, my lord, but to buy food are thy servants come. We are all one man's sons. We are true men. Thy servants are no spies. And he said unto them, Nay, but to see the nakedness of the land, ye are come. And they said, Thy servants are 12 brethren, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. Behold, the youngest is this day with our father, and one is not. And Joseph said unto them, That is it, that I spake unto you, saying, Ye are spies. Hereby ye shall be proved. By the life of Pharaoh ye shall not go forth hence, except your youngest brother come hither. Send one of you, and let him fetch your brother, and ye shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved, whether there be any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely ye are spies. And he put them all together into ward 3 days. And Joseph said unto them the third day, this do and live, for I fear God. If ye be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye, carry corn for the famine of your houses, but bring your youngest brother unto me. So shall your words be verified, and ye shall not die. And they did so. And they said one to another, we are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore has this distress come upon us. And Reuben answered them, saying, spake I not unto you, saying, do not sin against the child, and ye would not hear. Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. And they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter. And he turned himself about from them and wept, and returned to them again and communed with them, and took from them Simeon and bound him before their eyes. Then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn and to restore every man's money into his sack, and to give them provision for the way. And thus did he unto them. And they laded their asses with the corn, and departed thence. And as one of them opened his sack to give his ass provender in the inn, he espied his money, for behold, it was in his sack's mouth. And he said unto his brethren, my money is restored, and lo, it is even in my sack. And their heart failed them, and they were afraid, saying one to another, what is this that God hath done unto us? And they came unto Jacob their father, unto the land of Canaan, and told him all that befell unto them, saying, the man who is the Lord of the land spake roughly to us, and took us for spies of the country. And we said unto him, we are true men, we are no spies. We be 12 brethren, sons of our father. One is not, and the youngest is this day with our father in the land of Canaan. And the man, the lord of the country, said unto us, hereby shall I know that ye are true men. Leave one of your brethren here with me, and take food for the famine of your households, and be gone. And bring your youngest brother unto me. Then shall I know that ye are no spies, but that ye are true men, so will I deliver you, your brother, and ye shall traffic in the land. It came to pass as they emptied their sacks, that, behold, every man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when both they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. And Jacob their father said unto them, me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and ye will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me. And Reuben spake unto his father, saying, slay my two sons, if I bring him not to thee. Deliver him into my hand, and I will bring him to thee again. And he said, my son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he is left alone. If mischief befall him by the way in the which ye go, then shall ye bring down my grey hairs with sorrow to the grave. May the Lord own and bless the reading from his holy word, and help us to continue in prayer. O Lord, do help us now to further wait upon thee in the service of the sanctuary this evening. We would acknowledge thy great goodness and pray that thou wilt own and bless all that hath been attended to already today. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. And, O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldest help us this evening and be unto us all that we need. May it be as it was with the two on the Emmaus road. The day is far spent, it was eventide, and Lord, thou didst go in to be with those two disciples. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt, turn in with us here tonight, and make thyself known unto us as the friend of sinners, one that sticketh closer than a brother. O Lord, what is the house to me unless the master there I see? O Lord, thou dost dwell in Zion, there will I dwell, for I have desired it. But Lord, we need thee to make thyself known unto us, as thou doth not unto the world, and to reveal thyself unto us by the power of thy Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, our mortal lives have been spared. We are favoured to gather together again. Oh, dear Lord, grant to us each some token of thy special love, some manifestation of thy divine favour, so that ere we leave thy house this day, we may be sweetly encouraged that we are in the narrow way, that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that we have an interest in the finished work of Christ, and that thou doth intercede for us as our great High Priest, who is able to save unto the uttermost them that come unto God by Jesus Christ, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. And now, Lord, we are here before thee, and we pray that thou wilt remember each one gathered in thine house this night, those who are unable to be here owing to their lawful responsibilities in caring for the dear children. And pray, Lord, that thou wilt be with them, and any that may be listening through the means at their disposal. Oh, may we all be as the heart of one man, brought to the feet of Jesus, one in spirit before the Lord. And so, dear Lord, do bless thy word as it goes forth. For thou didst say to thine apostles, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We thank thee, Lord, that we have a desire to hear the word of God. We thank thee, Lord, that we have an ear to hear what thy Holy Spirit will say unto the churches. We thank thee, Lord, that thou didst begin with us. We thank thee that thou hast kept alive our own soul and brought us now to this present time to engage in divine worship, that thy name may be glorified and magnified by the church in her militant state, as it is by the church of God in her eternal state, in eternal glory, serving the Lord without cessation. And so, dear Lord, do grant to us the divine help of thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled to do that which is required of us. We pray for thy one church, the true church of God, throughout the earth. And we know, Lord, from the testimony of truth, that thou dost have thy people in every nation under heaven. We know them not, but they are all known to thee. And we do pray especially that thou wilt remember the body of churches to which we are affiliated and united in the bonds of the gospel, in the doctrines of Christ, and in faith, and in practice. And Lord, we pray that thou wouldest remember especially thy cause and thine interest here at Maidstone. And so, dear Lord, do remember them. Oh, thou art well acquainted with all their ways and what they have passed through. But Lord, may there be that gracious renewing, that gracious reviving from the presence of the Lord, building again the walls of Jerusalem. O Lord, do grant, we pray thee, thy divine favour and approbation to rest upon them from above. Bring in others, dear Lord, if it is thy will, quicken thy dead elect. Restore prodigals and return backsliders, and build up, Lord, thy cause and interest with godly exercised souls who will say with one of old, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? We would not limit, Lord, thine almighty power. For thou didst speak, and it was done. Thou didst command, and it stood fast. Do hear, Lord, and answer prayer offered by thy dear people here for the furtherance of the kingdom of thy grace in this cause of truth. And again we pray for our dear brother in the management of the cause here on a daily and weekly basis, and all those responsibilities that have to be attended to in the cause of truth. And Lord, do help him in this and also in the responsibility and labour and concern of the Bethesda homes. And do also remember our dear friend and brother Bernard in his ministry. Help him, Lord, continually. And we do thank thee, Lord, for preserving his sight. Oh, Lord, as we understand that, naturally speaking, he was on the borders of losing his sight, but thou hast preserved it. And, Lord, for a purpose, to enable him to continue in the ministry and also to travel from chapel to chapel. Oh Lord, how great is thy goodness. And may each member of our bodies, Lord, be mercifully preserved so that we may have the ability to come up to the house of God and to fulfill our responsibilities in the fear of the Lord for the good of thy cause on earth. We would pray for those who labour under affliction and infirmity and weakness and pain. O Lord, thou knowest the crosses and the losses that thy dear people are subject to. But Lord, we believe that our times are in thy hands. We thank thee, dear Lord, that our dear aged sister Beryl is able to be with us this evening, and pray that thou wilt be with her and help her every day and all day. And all those who feel their great need, Lord, do grant to them all that they stand in need of, by day and night. Now, Lord, thy word is before us. We pray for ministerial grace, God-given ability. May thy word, Lord, have free course and be glorified in the midst of Zion. May thy word be applied with divine power so that we may be blessed with those spiritual blessings which are in Christ Jesus our Lord. We would thank thee, Lord, for all the bounty of thy good providence toward us, O Lord, and thy benefits, which we are not to forget. Oh, we thank thee, Lord, for every grace and favour that flows to us through the precious person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that thou wilt be with this troubled world, where there are those great conflicts of warfare, we pray that they may cease, and that men of violence may not find their hands, so that in these troubled areas, oh, that there may be a stability and a peace granted. For the hearts of all men, dear Lord, are in thy hands. We pray that thou wilt remember us in the nation. Thou, Lord, dost know all that has taken place during the past week, and we commit the newly appointed government and the Prime Minister into thy hands, O Lord, and pray that they may have that desire to act in the fear of the Lord for the good of the nations. For the powers that be, O Lord, are ordained of God. Now, dear Lord, do hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, O Lord, forgive. Let a dying sinner live. We plead the precious name, the precious blood, the sacred righteousness of Jesus Christ, the Lord, the Lamb. We ask all for Jesus' sake. Amen.
The notices for the week are, God willing, Mr. John Hart is engaged to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Marcus Funnell next Lord's Day evening, and has helped. There will be a prayer meeting address read on Lord's Day morning and a sermon during the morning service. Today we take a collection for those in need. May we now be helped to continue our worship, singing hymn number 7, Tune Nativitan, 248, 248. Hymn number 7. God shall alone the refuge be, and comfort of my mind. Too wise to be mistaken he, too good to be unkind. What though I can't his going seen, or all his footsteps find? Too wise to be mistaken he, too good to be unkind. Hereafter he will make me know, and I shall surely find he was too wise to err, and oh, too good to be unkind. Hymn number 7, Tune Nativitan, 248.
Again, dear friends, by the help of God, I would ask your prayerful attention from the word that we brought before you this morning in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 7, and we read again verses 9 and 10. Verses 9 and 10, chapter 7, the Acts of the Apostles. And the patriarchs moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him and delivered him out of all his afflictions and gave him favour and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. We endeavoured this morning ministerially to open up the word in accordance with the chapter that we read, namely chapter 37. And I want, as the Lord may help me this evening, to continue in the text and also to ponder a word in chapter 42, verse 8. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew him not. What would the people of God do if they did not fully believe that their times are in the Lord's hands and not in man's? And we see in the scriptures how the Lord's dear people were brought into great straits and difficulties and perplexities because the Lord tries the righteous. Oh, the Lord tries the righteous. And if we are his dear people, he will try our faith and bring us into those pathways where it all seems, as Jacob said, all these things are against me. Little did he know, friends, that all things were for him. And it's the same with us. We may lament and say, everything is against us. But if we did but know it, it's all for our spiritual good. And so the Lord uses means and dispensations to fulfill his purposes. Now you've just sung hymn number 7, dear Mr. Samuel Medley. If ever that was true, friends, it was in the case of that dear minister at Liverpool. Where did hymn 7 come from? You may know. You may not. I don't know, but I will tell you briefly. Dear Mr. Medley had a very young child in a pram and on a hill in Liverpool. This pram went out of control and went down this hill and tipped over, and the child came out, the young child, and was killed. What did Mr. Medley do? He went home and wrote hymn number 7. God shall alone the refuge be and comfort of my mind. And if you really ponder Mr. Medley's hymns, you can see that vein of truth, divinely taught, in the hymns that he wrote. And so, in the case of Joseph, mysterious to human nature, but you see, human nature doesn't understand the deep things of God. Because the deep things of God must be spiritually discerned. So as we came to the conclusion this morning, we cited the very solemn case of Saul, who, after some considerable years, due to his disobedience in not destroying the Amalekites in completion, then the displeasure of God came upon him, and pursuing David, tried to kill him. The javelin was thrown, and yet, dishonouring the Lord in his life, then the Lord departed from him. The Philistines came against him. Now when David went against the Philistine giant Goliath, he gained the victory. Why? Because the Lord was with him. And here we have Saul. Then the Philistines came against him later. And friends, they gain a victory. The enemies of the cross of Christ. The Lord departed. Finished. Ruined. Friends, we see then the great favour and blessing of God with his dear people in whatever path of tribulation they are brought into, subject to the will of God, the Lord is with us. But God was with him. Oh, friends, what greater blessing could one desire and know? For the presence of Almighty God, the presence of Jesus Christ, the divine comfort of the Holy Spirit, because the three glorious persons in the Trinity are one. They are one. And the Lord Jesus said prior to his ascension, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I will send another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. And the Lord is with his dear people and abides with his people by the power of his Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus said, lo, I am with thee always, even unto the end of the world. The Lord Jesus ascended. Then 10 days later, the gift of God's Holy Spirit was given to the Church of God to abide with us forever. The Spirit of truth. Very beautiful, very wonderful. So we're not alone. Although we may walk a path alone, Jacob was left alone, but the Lord was with him. David walked a path of being alone sometimes, but the Lord was with him. Daniel went into the den of lions alone, but the Lord was with him. The three Hebrews went into the fiery furnace, but the Lord was with him. Mordecai came under the threat of Haman, who wanted to destroy all the Jews and deceived Ahasuerus, and promised to pay him 10,000 talents of silver to be paid into the king's treasuries that he might claim the life of all the Jews. You see, friends, money is involved in those who work in an evil way, like it was with Joseph, like it was with Judas Iscariot, like it was with Haman. Money comes into it. The root of all evil. But the Lord's dear people, whatever trial it is, God was with him. God is with us. Friends, Satan, the world, enemies, can never remove that divine blessing. They can do, men can do what they will. They can bind one in prison. They can threaten them and beat them and tell them not to preach. But friends, they can never bind the spirit of a child of God. And if your spirit has been made free by the Spirit of truth, no man can bind your spirit. The Lord is with you. And it was so with dear Joseph. He was sold to Potiphar in Egypt. But what do we read concerning him, dear Joseph, there? And it's this, that he was sold by the Ishmaelites and brought down into Egypt. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Again, the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favour in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was a doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made to prosper. He's in a prison cell, friends, but the Lord is prospering him, because the Lord is with him. This is the wonder. Of course, the brethren knew nothing of this. Knew nothing of it. They were steeped in deception, took the coat of many colours, killed a kid of the goats, dipped the coat in the blood, and sent it back to their father. What a deception. What a deception. This now have we found. What deception. What dissimulation. But you see, the Lord was with Joseph. Don't forget that, dear friends. Whatever path you're in now, or may be called to walk in the trial of your faith, subject to the will of God, remember the Lord is with his people. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear. What can man do unto me? So this is exceedingly beautiful, and we have so many instances in the scriptures where the Lord was with his dear people. Look at Moses, the tremendous responsibility that was his. If thy presence go not with us, don't carry us up hence, dear Lord. My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And the Lord was with Moses. And then, when he died and Joshua took the responsibility, what did the Lord say to Joshua? As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. You see, it's continuous, this divine presence of God. Paul and Silas were in the prison. They'd been beaten uncondemned and cast into the inner prison. What about what took place? Did they complain? Did they murmur? No. At midnight, they prayed and sang praises unto the Lord, and the prisoners heard them. How could they do that? Because the Lord was with them. That's why, friends, if the Lord is with you, you can do that which the Lord requires. And it's a God-given ability. It's a sacred pleasure to serve the Lord. Dear Daniel in the lion's den. Oh, friends, my God has sent his angel and closed the lion's mouths. They have not hurt me. The Lord can close the lion's mouths of men today. The Lord can close their mouths, as he did the lions in the den. And the Lord delivereth and rescueth, we read in Daniel. And our text speaks, does it not? And delivered him. Deliverance. Oh, dear friends, may we feel and know the presence of God more and more. Now let us just ponder the consideration here, the presence of God. What does it enable us to do? It enables us to do that which the Lord requires. It enables us to serve the Lord in our day and in our generation. It enables you to pray. It enables the Lord's servants to preach. It helps you to sing. Because the Lord is with you. Whatever the Lord requires, there's that God-given ability to do it, and with pleasure, because the Lord is with you. I can do all things through Christ, who strengtheneth me. I remember years ago at the Dicker, there was an elderly lady. She was in a wheelchair. She'd had what we call a so-called accident in Wales. And in a cable car, and it broke, and she came down to the earth, and she was so injured. And she was brought down to the Dicker, and she was in a wheelchair. She was just up by the front, by the pulpit. And she said one day to the pastor, "Oh, I feel... really, I'm useless. I can't do anything." And the pastor reproved her. He said, "Ruth, you can. You pray. You pray." And she couldn't deny that. She waited upon the Lord in his word. She couldn't deny that. She loved to receive and hear the gospel. She couldn't deny that. Because the Lord was with her. And even in a secular way, she used to be pushed up to the chapel from Horse Bridge, and they had to cross the busy A22, the dual carriageway, both times, then to the centre reservation, and then over the road again. And she was so concerned whether all would be well when she'd been crossing the road. Someone pushed her in the wheelchair. But the Lord came and gave her a word and removed all her fears. The word has just escaped my mind for the moment. It's in the book of Samuel about being mercifully preserved. It may come to my mind a little later. But the thing was, the Lord gave her a word, and that removed all her fears. And so when it came to cross the road, she had no fears, because the Lord would preserve and protect her. You see, dear friends, the Lord is with his people. All is well in providence and in grace. Oh, the Lord can do all things. Well, the Lord knows all things. He sees all things. He knows exactly the way you're walking. He's acquainted with all our ways. And he suits his mercy according to our needs. Oh, the wonder. And of course, being with his dear people on earth, there, you see, he'll be with us forever. Yes, his presence now we know in spirit. And then his presence in eternal glory in person. Yes, now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, like we see each other tonight, face to face. This is eternal glory, friends, face to face. See the dear Redeemer as he is. Then we shall know, even as we are known. Now, the knowledge of God concerning us is a complete complete knowledge. The Word of God is very clear that we shall know even as we are known. That's a complete knowledge of Christ in heaven with the Lord, with King Jesus in eternal glory. You see, my presence shall go with thee. And it went with Moses through his life. And then, you see, he chose rather to suffer affliction. This enabled him to do it because the Lord was with him. To choose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now listen, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. And what was that reward? Eternal glory. That was the recompense. That was the recompense. And this is the recompense that God gives to his dear people for all the tribulations of this life. Eternal glory. Eternal life at his request to every saint is given. Oh, friends, these are the doctrines of Christ that we love, that we preach. So God was with him, and I trust that each of us here tonight may be enabled to say, yes, the Lord is, I can humbly say, the Lord is with me and helps me day by day. Having obtained, the Apostle Paul said, help of God, I have continued to this day witnessing. He couldn't have witnessed, friends, without the Lord. And even in that distress, when they were journeying across the Mediterranean Sea to Rome, and that mighty tempest came against them, there stood by me this night the angel of the Lord. Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all those that sail with thee. There in that storm, you rockland, there in that tempest, in that conflict, the Lord spake. And sometimes, friends, you may be in a conflict, not on the Mediterranean Sea, but a conflict within your own heart and breast and mind and spirit. A dreadful conflict. And yet, what does the Lord do? He succours you. He grants that divine succour. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succour them that are tempted. Well, that's the presence of the Lord in temptation. Regarding the way you take, the path you walk in, whether the Lord will mercifully appear and grant the fulfillment of the exercise of your soul, perfect in that which concerns you. And so, friends, nothing can equal the wonder of the presence of God. Judas, not Iscariot, said to the Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? If a man love me, I will come unto him, abide with him, and reveal and manifest myself unto him. If a man love me, and a man loves Christ because the Lord loves us. That's a secret, friends. The Lord loves us from all eternity. That's the doctrine of election. And his love begets our love. We love him because he first loved us. Oh, the presence of the Lord in his loving kindness and tender mercies. Dear Jeremiah said, I am the man that has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He brought me into darkness and not into light. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. He doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. Jeremiah had to pass that deep way. But every day the Lord manifested his favour to him. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Whatever the trial, the straits you're in, the Lord be with you. The hymn writer said, be with you to the end. Look at the book of Ruth. Oh, the reapers came and said to Boaz, or the Boaz came down, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Now, of course, Boaz was a type of Christ. The Lord bless thee. It's only the Lord that can bless, friends. Yes, and he did bless. Oh, and he blessed dear Ruth who gleaned in the field. The Lord's eye was upon her. The Lord was with her. She didn't want to stay in Moab, in an idolatrous land. She wanted to be with Naomi. Thy people shall be my people. Thy God, my God. Where thou livest will I live. Where thou dwellest will I dwell. There will I be buried. You must be with the Lord's people. And then she came and gleaned. A poor widow woman, gleaning in Boaz's field. Little did she know that Boaz's eye was upon her. The heavenly Boaz, his eye was upon her. And she felt the favour and blessing of God. Oh, how is it that I am a stranger, and that thou hast shown grace I found grace in thine eyes. She found grace in the eyes of Jesus Christ, the heavenly Boaz. The Lord was with her. There she was gleaning. The Lord was with her, friend. The poor always glean the corners of the field. And you may be a poor gleaner, friend, feelingly. But the heavenly Boaz is watching over you, caring for you. And you find grace in his sight. Because he gives you grace. And if he gives you grace, he's given you Christ. He's given you himself. This is what grace is. It's Christ. He's full of grace and full of truth. And he gives grace. And he gives glory. And so, dear friends, the presence of God is amazing. It's wonderful for poor, needy sinners. And those straits that Daniel came into, just ponder, friends. He knew what was before him. If he continued praying and didn't worship that golden image, he knew what was before him. But the Lord was with him. And he's not going to submit to idolatry to please a heathen king. He worships the Lord his God. And so, the false accusation was brought. He was cast into the lion's den. And just think, naturally speaking, naturally speaking, viewed on a human level, it was a horror. A horror of overwhelming. But he could go in because the Lord was with him. He had done nothing against the king or the kingdom. His conscience was clear before God. And the Lord performed a miracle because the Lord was with him. And shut those lions' mouths. They couldn't hurt him. They couldn't touch him. The wonder of it, friends. And you may find yourself in a heavy trial. And yet, if the presence of God is with you, all is well. The Lord can do all that you stand in need of. Yea, the Lord can do more, exceeding abundantly, above all that you can ask or even think. Well, the Lord delivered him out of all his afflictions. Although affliction cometh not forth of the dust, neither the trouble spring out of the ground, yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. But he shall deliver thee in six troubles, yea, in seven there shall no evil touch thee. No. No evil touch thee, friend. Why? Because the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. So, delivered him. Well, who delivers? Who can deliver? Ah. The Lord hath raised up and given a deliverer in Zion, King Jesus. He's the deliverer. Oh, he hath delivered. And you can look back tonight, dear friend, and see and know a time when the Lord delivered you in some particular matter. A miracle was performed. He hath delivered. And he doth deliver now. In whom we trust that he will yet, deliver us. Past, present, future. The Lord Jesus Christ, yesterday, today, forever. There it is. And so, friends, deliverance is wrought by Christ because he has gained the victory over all the powers of sin and Satan and men. He's risen triumphant from the grave. When you ponder the life of Christ, the holy, just, eternal Son of God, and came down into this earth, born of a woman, made under the law, and the Lord knew all that was before him. The Lord knew all that was before him. He set his face as a flint to go up to Jerusalem. He knew exactly what was before him. But you see, I and my Father are one. Oh, the Lord went to fulfill the will of God his Father. And he did. Blessed be his holy name. And he delivers his dear people today from all the fiery darts of Satan and from all the conflicts that we are subject to because we're flesh and blood. We're mortal. And Satan uses this to tempt us concerning our standing in Christ, our spiritual state and condition. And that's the trial of your faith. You see, again we see that the deep things of God. Satan is permitted to tempt the Lord's people. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trial of your faith worketh patience. Let patience have a perfect work. You may be entire, wanting nothing. Oh, this wonderful deliverer. And friends, what position you're in tonight, what circumstances you're in tonight, the Lord can deliver. He has all power in heaven and on the earth. He has to speak and it's done, and command and it stands fast, and delivered him out of all his afflictions. Oh, what an afflictive dispensation he passed through. Oh, dear friends, you can read the chapters, and when he was down in Egypt initially, then the subtle workings of Satan against him, and that false accusation that was laid at his door, and you see, into prison he goes. But friends, the Lord was with him even in that heavy dispensation. But you see, the word of the Lord tried him. And friends, the word of the Lord will try you, the word that he's given you upon which to hope and trust. The Lord will try it, because he tries his dear people. The trial of faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, the fire of persecution, the fire of temptation. This is it, friends. But you see, the confirmation, the affirmation, you're a righteous character. The word of God declares it. Your poor, weak, finite mind say, oh, can that be? You know, friend, we need to come to the word of God. That's a greater testimony than your testimony. You may say, I'm a poor, guilty, needy sinner, and everything seems to be coming to the end. That might be your lamentation, like all these things are against me. But friends, the testimony of God is greater. Where was Joseph when he said that? Jacob, when he said that? What about his Bethel blessing? The Lord said, I'll be with thee whithersoever thou goest. That's what the Lord said. Thy presence shall be with thee. And now later, when in adversity, all these things are against me. He forgot the promise of God. And friends, you mustn't forget the promise of God, because that's greater than the adversity that you're brought into. And so there was a wonderful deliverance when the Lord appeared after all those years. Our time is always ready, but the Lord's time is not yet. What patience we need to wait, but tribulation worketh patience. Oh, dear friends, what a fullness there is in the word of God. Well, the Lord delivered him out of all his afflictions and gave him favour and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. Well, we must come to a close now, dear friends. May the Lord own and bless his own word and favour us with his continual presence. Lo, I am with thee always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let us now sing together hymn number 771. The tune is Remington 395. To know my Jesus crucified by far excels all things beside. All earthly good I count but loss and triumph in my Saviour's cross. Hymn number 771. just want to read a few verses, dear friends, in chapter 52 in the prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah 52 from verse 13. And this, of course, is a blessed fulfillment of that word which I referred to at the beginning of the sermon, that Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at this, his visage was so marred, more than any man, and his fall more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations, the kings shall shut their mouths at him. For that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. So, briefly, dear friends, the brethren did not know their brother. Many years had passed, and they'd forgotten him, but dear Joseph suffered much. The Lord was with him, yes, but all his sufferings. And he felt them keenly. And I believe this, that his countenance and his visage was measurably affected because the brethren didn't know him. But he knew them, because he'd never forgotten them. Because of the way they treated him. Now, as we magnify this in the life of Jesus Christ, behold, my servant, the servant of the Lord, shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and very high. The Lord Jesus dealt prudently because he abounded in wisdom. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. He shall be exalted, and he was at the right hand of God the Father. He was extolled and very high. But as many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. And I believe the sufferings of Christ that he endured so was manifest in his visage, in his countenance, and it was marred more than any man. Because you see, the countenance reveals and shows the heart condition, the mind condition, what you're passing through. It's manifest in your countenance. Your visage, as the word is here, as many were astonished at thee. And dear friends, there were the Lord's people, you see, were astonished in consideration of his sacred, marred vision. And why was this? Because our sins, our iniquities were laid on him. And because he was marred, his sacred countenance. Now, he was fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. No one more fair than Christ. And yet, the effect of his sufferings had a profound effect upon his sacred countenance, upon his sacred person. Now, Joseph knew his brethren. The Lord knew us and knows us. But friends, we didn't know him. Because we cost him suffering. We cost Christ sorrow and grief. a man acquainted with grief, a man of sorrows, rejected of men. And we didn't know the Lord. Our sins cost him suffering and death, but we didn't know him until he revealed himself to us. And when dear Joseph revealed himself to the brethren and made himself known, what a sacred season it was. And when the Lord makes himself known to his dear people, reveals himself to them, what a sacred season it is. So, in his sufferings, it was made manifest, marred, more than any man, in his form more than the sons of men. In the Canticles, the Church of God speaks concerning Christ in a beautiful way, and his legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet, yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. But the sufferings he endured, what he endured no tongue can tell, to save our souls from death and hell, was seen in his sacred visage. Well, friends, may we ponder this divine truth. Isaiah the prophet of the Advent, and the prophet of the sufferings of Christ. Oh, may we be led a little into it. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it. Let us give thanks. O Lord, in thy divine mercy, thou hast brought us again to thy table to remember thee in thy sufferings and in thy death. And O thy glorious holy person, the effect of those sufferings, the effect of our sins that cause the suffering. O Lord, as many as were astonished at thee. O, we pray that we may have our hearts touched with divine love and compassion to thee for all that thou hast endured to deliver us from the curse of the law. Do help us now to further wait upon thee in this sacred ordinance. We would ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Thank you. After the same manner also he took the cup. Let us ask the Lord's blessing thereon. O Lord, as we come now to pour forth the wine, may we remember that thou didst pour out thy soul unto death. The soldier pierced thy sacred side. Forthwith there flowed out blood and water. Oh, be a sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. Help us now, Lord, by faith to go to Golgotha, the place of a skull, to Calvary, where the Lamb was slain, and with us there abide. We ask all for Jesus' sake. Amen. This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. What a word, friends, that is, isn't it? To do this in remembrance of me until I come the second time. The Lord will come the second time, and this sacred ordinance will be observed to the end of time. Let us now sing in conclusion hymn number 441. So fair a face, bedewed with tears, what beauty evening grief appears. He wept, he bled, he died for you. What more, ye saints, could Jesus do? The tune number is Rockingham 398. The tune number, the hymn number is 441. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Help us, Lord, then, to think upon thy precious, sacred, holy name and glorious person. We plead thy precious blood, Lord Jesus, to cleanse us from all sin, and that we may be enabled to worship thee and serve thee for the rest of our days here below, and then to be with thee forever. Dismiss us with thy favour. Take us each to our homes in peace. And may thy grace, Lord Jesus, the Father's love, the communion of thy Holy Spirit, rest, remain, and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen. And Amen.